Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we've got to find a way to get it done tonight in Las Vegas. And Mike Bell, Monday Night Football, which means we have a shortened edition of our show. We've got pregame shows coming up. We're going to get you ready all afternoon long here on the radio station. But the bottom line is for the Falcons to get back on the winning track. And guys, look, we try not to pay attention to what everybody else is doing, because you know we all the time we hear this from Ra and all the coaches, right? Mike, it's about what we do, it's about us. Okay, it is, but I'm watching Tampa Bay, Mike, and I got to be honest, they're playing some really damn good football right now, yeah. And we got to find a way to get back on the right track.
There's a lot of teams in the NFC, because even if you want to be the eternal optimist, even if you don't win the division, maybe the wild card. Well, you know, people are popping. Teams, look at the Packers last night. Packers are just, I mean, they're in the zone right now. I think we could say that Minnesota might be the same. They're the early game. It's a double dip tonight. Bears, Minnesota, then us in the nightcap against the Raiders. And I'm hoping that we just, you know, get something cooking. I heard Arch on with Andy Randy. You and I were talking before the show. And again, Arch is certainly qualified. He knows it. The dead feet. And is this a byproduct, Carl, of Cousins just being, you know, not 100% off the Achilles or the wear and tear? He was good for a while, and now he's worn down. And you said it. You got to bounce on the balls of your feet. Quarterbacks, and Arch knows, and when there's only a few guys in the league that can step off the back foot. Like a Jordan Love can do that. Anthony Richardson can do that.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to plant and step into it. And anytime, as you said last week, Cousins double clutches or doesn't get that first progression, we're dead meat. I hope that changes tonight.
I do too. The thing that's concerning is it may explain some of, not all, but some of these interceptions. Because if you're not able, and quarterbacks talk about this all the time, guys, to get your feet and set your feet, and if you don't have the right footwork, you're not going to be able to make the throws. Now, to Mike's point, there are a few guys in the league who just have that incredible arm strength where they'll be able to deliver it even with bad footwork or positioning. But for Cousins, with where he is and in his career and coming off this injury, it's been my concern. Like, how did you go from earlier in the year wanting to at least move a little bit to now I'm literally looking left, looking middle, looking right, back to the middle, and now I'm trying to release the ball, but yet my feet and my lower body, Mike, has really not moved. Either way, look, I'm sure over the last week, and a half or so, Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson and this offensive staff have studied everything right. they possibly can to say, hey, this was you in week two. This was you in week eight. Like, you know, and you got to hope that they've got all that stuff out of their system and as far as, you know, making the corrections. But this is a game tonight that will not have Max Crosby in it. And I got to tell you guys, it's for everything that I think, you know, the Raiders potentially could be and matchup-wise, he was my number one concern. Mm. He's a game wrecker. He's a guy that late in the game, if the game was close, he is a guy. Strip sack, he's that guy. He's not playing tonight. But I'll tell you who is playing. Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder is going to start at quarterback for this football team. And we talked all last week about Aiden O'Connell and all this stuff. And, Mike, you've been saying this is your worst nightmare scenario.
Yeah, this is one where if you, heaven forbid, and, you know, I don't want these words to come out of my mouth, but if we blow it tonight, you know, and Cousins continues to struggle. I mean, Bijan, by the way, run the football. Run the ball for 250 yards. Bijan now, Bijan tomorrow, Bijan forever, and throw in Tyler. But, yeah, this has got to be one where if you, heaven forbid, you lose, but you lose to the guy that was like the symbol of everything that was wrong in the 7-10, 7-10, 7-10. You got to be able to get this job done. Now, Aiden O'Connell, they say, is going to try to give it a go. He's going to test it before the game. But,
and I'm kind of hoping he does play because, look, I think he's more mistake-prone. Mm. If I'm Ridder, Mike, and I'm not saying he's going to go out here and, you know, have a career night, but he has nothing to lose.
No, you could come out and sling. I mean, as much as he can sling it, like, I don't know. In another setting, in a parallel universe, if he could have sat for a few more years,
yep.
maybe could he have developed? I don't know. He was given the opportunity. It's a moot point. The way Arthur Smith used him in preseason, the whole thing, they blew it that year. But maybe things would have turned out differently for him. We'll never know. Now, unfortunately for him, this is as good as it gets. But this is one that he, if he does get that opportunity, and the moment's not too big for him, you know he'd love to stick it to us.
No doubt. You would, too, if you were in his position. And, again, it's not the Falcons' fault that he didn't catch on anywhere. But just like with Arthur Smith, he felt like I should have had another chance to come back. Didn't happen. And now it's rare, but you're somewhere a season, the next season, you're in a position to potentially get some get back. There's no doubt he wouldn't want to play well tonight. And if he, in fact, gets the start, which is what we're hearing, we'll see how that all shakes out. Either way, let's be honest. We should still win this game regardless of who starts. Whether it's Aiden O'Connell, whether it's Desmond Ridder, whether it's Santa Claus, it doesn't matter. We should win this game tonight. We're a better team, and I know we're on a four-game losing streak, and it's hard for anybody right now to say, well, how could you say that, Dukes? Because I'm saying it because we are. We are a better team than the Vegas Raiders right now. But you still have to go prove it, Mike. Now, does that mean, again, we'll win by 20 tonight? I'd love to see it, but no, it doesn't mean that.
No, and the other side of this thing is this, and it was funny, last week when we were up at Flowery Branch, I was talking to our man, D'Oletto Ledbetter from the AJC, and we basically said it at the same time. I go, doesn't this feel like Dan Quinn? It sure does, 2015 all over again.
No!
And that was D-Led said that, thanks, Mike! But and again, it has nothing to do with a different team, different talent, different roster, but it does feel a little bit like 2015 with Dan Quinn. Great start, feeling good, look at this, and then the wheels come off. So I hope Coach Ra and his staff have found a way to make it work tonight because, yes, everybody and their uncle, including Las Vegas, who's got us at a 5.5-point favorite, thinks we're going to handle this. We should. But you got to win out and hope the Cowboys trip up the Bucks. That's where it stands right now. That's how screwed up things have become since we were 6-3.
All right, let's hear from our head coach. We asked him about this. And that is the national noise, guys, all right? Because here's the other part of this. We are hoping and wishing, and there's a lot of wishing and hoping going on, that Kirk Cousins is going to look good tonight. But God forbid, as I said in Minnesota, what if he throws an early interception? Everybody said, oh, I won't have it. And I said, well, what do you do? So we asked Coach about this. Like, okay, you're hearing all of this, right? And if he is not good tonight or early in this game, what are you going to do? And again, Coach Ra has been consistent, Mike. They want to stay with Kirk Cousins. At no point all season, as much as we've had a chance to visit with him, has he said he wants to at some point change quarterbacks. Here's what he said about hearing the national noise.
It's the same noise that was wondering why you drafted him in the first place, right? And when you go draft this guy, you have a plan for him, right? And we've seen, like I said, we've seen quarterbacks go in too early. We've seen quarterbacks get ruined. We've seen, and I'm not saying that's going to happen to Mike, but we do have a guy. Like, we have a guy. We have a guy that's played in the National Football League for years and been successful. And not to mention, is the third leading passer in the National Football League in the season. We're not talking about over the course of this break. In the season, this guy's led the league in passing, and he's number three. And he's got to come out of slop and not turn the football over and win football games for us. You know, Michael Tom will come. You know, he's our future. He's the guy we love. He's the guy we drafted for all the great reasons. He's done nothing but the right stuff since he's been here. He's been an absolute professional and a pro, and he hears the same stuff. And he does nothing but support Kurt. He supports his teammates. He comes to work. He goes to work every single day, and I think that's our job.
Look, we tried to press Coach, and we asked him three different ways about trying to get Penix in there, and there's your response. So unless, again, don't never wish an injury, but if there was some kind of injury, that's the only way it sounds like we're going to see Penix on the field this year.
I agree.
I think it's a colossal mistake. I think that when Kirk Cousins, whatever this is, you can almost treat it like an injury. It doesn't pass the eye test. Something is clearly wrong with him. Hopefully he can fix it mechanically tonight, Carl. You know, as we said, the dead legs, dead feet, whatever it is. But I just, to me, you know, yeah, I know he's the quarterback of the future. What about the 2024 season? What? How are we going to blow this 6-3 and division lead, and there was no way in hell we were going to blow this division, and it's happening right before our eyes. I disagree with Coach wholeheartedly on that.
Here's the thing, guys. We have to win out. That's Raiders. That's Giants. And let's be honest, those are two dubs. It should be with what we've seen from those two teams. Commanders and then Panthers. That's our last four games going into tonight. Now, obviously, we play the Raiders, so the last three, Giants, Commanders, and Panthers. Watched the Commanders and Saints yesterday, Mike. Bottom line is, you know, that's a team that's going to be hard out, man. The Commanders are an interesting football team with a quarterback who's playing with a lot of confidence, and they do have playmakers. And so, you know, the Panthers, and I said this to Mike Conte and Orm when we came in, what if this comes out in the last game of the season? I mean, it
very
could.
Well could.
And Mike, think back to where we were after the Cowboy game. We were like, oh, Panthers, come on. It doesn't even matter. It might matter now to beat the Panthers the last game of the season.
Look, the Giants are sort of a hot mess, and the New York media is saying they're quitting, which, again, you know, it's easy to say when you're playing a Ravens team and Lamar Jackson, but I'm with you. This thing is coming down to the wire, but it never, ever should have gotten to this position. And by the way, you said it. Jaden Daniels, I mean, he's not even close to hitting the ceiling of his game. He makes unbelievable Archie Manning-like escapes and then throws it with a cannon. The kid's amazing.
He is, man. He's really good. Bears, Vikings tonight. Falcons, Raiders. Two Monday night games. Of course, our Falcons heard right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we've got the Wade Ford Tailgate Show to start getting you ready for tonight's contest. But when we come back, guys, we've got to get to the Daily Download. Lots of key injuries yesterday in the NFL and how it could affect the playoff hunt. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know what's interesting, as we get ready for Monday Night Football, Mike and I were just talking about the double dip, and you just said something to me which I guess I didn't realize, which was I was looking forward to, Troy tonight. And you said, oh, no. Troy's not on the game tonight. Who's on the game?
We get the B team. We get Chris Fowler, and it's Chris Fowler and Dan Orlovsky and Lewis Riddick.
Oh.
Lewis Riddick, who's been linked, by the way, to the Giants general manager job.
Yeah, he look.
Or the Jets, I should say. Giants haven't fired theirs yet.
Well, they should. Joe Shane should be gone. He had a shot last year to take a job, but so because of the two Monday night games,
I'm Troy. He's Joe. We've got Minnesota Bears.
Okay.
The other guys get the Falcons Raiders.
Okay. Yeah, I just was like, oh, I didn't even realize it. Now, of course, we will be listening to our crew right here.
Wes Drewham
and Dave Archer. So we're not worried about it, but I was just like, oh, for those folks around the country who'll be watching, they will not be getting that. A couple of news notes, guys. One, this is pretty interesting to me. Mike Vick, is apparently in negotiations, or at least is talking with Norfolk State.
Okay.
About becoming their next head football coach.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the crazy thing. Like, we've seen this. Eddie George, guys, for those who don't know, is at Tennessee State. He's done a really good job. Obviously, Dion is at Colorado. Mm-hmm. You're seeing this trend, Mike, of, okay, if former players are interested – even with no real coaching experience, right? Because Dion, when he went to Jackson State, he hadn't been a head coach. And you're seeing this trend. Now, I'm all for it, but at the end of the day, you got to have the right makeup and the right approach. If you're not the right guy, meaning just like with everybody else who get these opportunities, just because you're a former player and we like what you did as a player, nobody knew if Dion could coach. Nobody knew if Dion could really handle this situation, which is why he didn't jump from, you know, zero to being a head coach in any major program. Now he's proven it. He's going to be able to pick his job wherever he wants to go, but you're seeing this trend. And I just saw this with Mike Vick, so I don't know if he's going to take it, But that is the rumor on the street, guys, about Michael Vick.
There were some guys a couple years back at Howard University, they were talking about Mike Vick. And I don't know, I forget the context of that, but that's interesting. Just a couple days ago, Teddy Bridgewater, coaching his alma mater, Northwestern High in Miami,
yep,
wins the state championship. This was a 4-win team the year before. They go 12-2, beat Jacksonville Reigns 41-0, and they win the state championship his first year as head coach. So there's designs on maybe, I think immediately folks say, you do that in your first year in high school? I could see you at the next level pretty quick.
No doubt. So we'll keep an eye out, but you know,
that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And Oren just mentioned HBCUs are doing a lot of this too. Former great players, trying to get them in the mix. And obviously, I will say this, Deion opened that door, right? I mean, we when nobody wanted to even give him a shot, and he was like, I'm going to go to HBCU, and everybody said, good luck with that. And then he turns Jackson State into what he did, that, you know, the two seasons he was there, whatever. Either way, it's just one of those things that are going down. And also, as we're talking about what else is happening around the world of sports, we do have a new hire with Atlanta United. And Mike and I were talking about this because we knew that Carlos Bocanegra was going to be replaced as a new technical director. I think the new title is the sporting director, which is, you know, same job or similar, but just a different title. But we still need a manager. But who's the new guy?
The dude has got a connection to Garth Lagerwey from his time with the Seattle Sounders. It is Chris Henderson as the chief soccer officer sporting director, who they announced earlier today. He was serving as Inter Miami's chief soccer officer sporting director 21-24. So we'll see where that goes. I know that you and I were talking off the air. You probably, when you come in working for Arthur Blank, you know, are you going to come in and overturn the apple cart? That's not really how it works here in Atlanta. So maybe there was a temptation to, or at least maybe think you could work with Carlos Bocanegra. But there were some contracts and some of the players that just didn't fit what Garth's design was for the future. And we unfortunately tried to refit, you know, on the run. And eventually, the good news is you surprised everyone's expectations. You didn't give, you know, Martin Martino the job after, you know, surprising the world.
Right.
They still have to find a new manager. You're correct. But he was with Lagerwey with Seattle from 2008 to 21. So they got some rich history there. But my point I'm getting to is maybe Garth didn't want to come in and start, you're fired. He kind of had a transitional period, and now he's putting his stamp on it.
All right, we'll see where it goes. Again, the managerial thing, I heard Mike Conte earlier today. He says he thinks it's done, but there's been no announcement, and there probably will be here in the next week or so with Atlanta United. And then, guys, we get to see what direction they're going to go, because new guys in town and new, you know, management with direction. Mike, we'll see where it goes. 404-726-0929. Appreciate all the input. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game to make sure you stay up on everything that's going on.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
They are without one of their key defensive pieces and what it may mean for the Falcons tonight. But right now, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
While we were up in Washington, D.C. last weekend for Army-Navy, Mike, everybody was talking about our Hawks, and they were participating in the NBA Cup, and everybody kept asking us, man, is this for real? How good are the Hawks? Listen, I thought they competed really well, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute, but a big shout-out to USAA, Mike, and all the folks we saw and met up there at Army-Navy.
Yeah, unbelievable day up there and weekend and just a blast. And I know, you know, it's funny. We just saw that Army had to get a new opponent. Louisiana Tech had to replace, I think it was it Marshall, because everybody's in the transfer portal. It's like literally we're living in bizarro world for college football.
Now, see, Mike, that can't be good for college football.
No,
that can't be.
And the kid who just got hired, just signed at Michigan for a gazillion dollars, chose his own offensive coordinator. So if you're, you know, if you're like old school and you want college football distilled down to its purest form, you got that Saturday afternoon. Now, ironically, the biggest game of the year, the one that means everything for their legacies and their life after they graduate, and Army played the worst game they played all season against Navy.
Though
the quarterback, the Captain America, was not good.
No.
Horvath was amazing.
Right. And even the dude dressed up in the Captain America's uniform right there, you know, he was like dismay.
Yeah, Bryson Daly literally had, and he was, I mean, to say he was beyond, he was apoplectic after the game, and you know what that means.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was four turnovers. Yeah, it was bad.
Tough day at the office.
But great time, and again, we invite you guys, if you ever get a chance, to go check it out. Now, let's talk about the Falcons, because Kirk Cousins was asked about what it's going to take to get a W tonight. Kirk, what is it going to take?
You know, and it's that time of year when if you don't have things going your way, you just have to dig deep, keep playing, and that's what we're doing, and trying to do what we can this week to get a win any way we can, anything that it takes to get it done.
Now,
where's the swagger?
What do you want to hear? You want to hear?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We swag, we surf, we swag, we surf. What do you want to hear us say?
I've been down, I'm getting my together.
Okay, okay.
I don't know. I
we walking into this trap? We taking over the trap?
I don't know. By the way, I think Falcoholic had it. I want to give credit where credit's due because I didn't see this. I just looked it up. A couple of listeners hit me up on this. If the Raiders win tonight, they fall from the second overall pick behind the Giants to seventh in the NFL draft based on strength of schedule. So I know we say in the National Football League every given Sunday, or in this case Monday, but there's no reason in God's green earth the Raiders should win this game, big picture.
If that was us and we were in that position, all of you would be calling the show and texting and tweeting at us and saying, Dukes and Bell, we better lose tonight. I don't think it's any different for the Raiders. Now, I've said this, guys, the NFL and guys, you just don't walk into a locker room and go, hey, we're going to lose tonight. Right. Nobody operates that way. Zero. All of these guys are competitors. Most of them, even though they're on losing teams now, have been winners all of their lives. So, Mike, you get into these situations, it's not like guys are going to lay down. As a matter of fact, that's somewhat embarrassing to think
right.
that we're in this position. So what better way than to go out and get a win? They will not quit, and they're not going to lay down. But that is fascinating. And if you know any organization, the general manager, Mike, or the owner, what do you think they're saying behind closed doors? Do you think they want a top pick?
I mean, this goes back to now the Giants, if they believe that Shador, and again, we're talking about that we got plenty of time in the offseason, but you just saw Travis Hunter, and congratulations to a local kid getting that Heisman Trophy and just smile from ear to ear. And just, for me, it's a slam dunk. But yeah, if you feel Shedeur Sanders is the guy that's going to change your franchise, you know, or I'm that's why I'm fascinated to see if we see a John Elway or, you know, Eli Manning type scenario where, you know, and look, we've seen teams do it. And there's, if you feel that a team is dysfunctional and you've got the juice that John Elway's dad was able to pull with the Colts back in the day, right?
Yep.
That's documented in that 30 for 30 from Elway to Marino. Maybe Eli, and Eli did the same thing. They felt the Chargers with Spanos was a team he didn't want to play for. Maybe Shedeur Sanders winds up somewhere else in New York.
We're going to see. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins. Maybe he has a little bit more swag in this soundbite, Mike, when he talks about the team needing to win.
So I think it goes back to all those same things again this week. You know, we got to move the football. We got to be productive on first and second down, running it, throwing it. Got to protect the football. Got to be good on third down. And then got to finish in the red zone. And that's a formula that doesn't change much from week to week. That's what you need to do in this league to win. But it's going to certainly apply again Monday night.
Yeah, you know what? It's true, though. You talk about where we were weeks ago with the whole, you know, trap conversation.
Going into someone's trap and trying to take over their trap.
That to where we are now, losing breaks a man, Mike. it breaks you, okay? And he's got to get back on the winning track so we can get that swag back.
Yeah, man. It felt so good after beating Tampa Bay, being down there for that game, watching that. We talked about the comeback win against Tampa here, obviously the Philly game, and then the Eagles just looked like they got it right by A.J. Brown. We'll talk more about that in the blitz. We beat, that's a good team. And even though Saquon screwed that thing up, you know, hey, we still had to go down the field, and Kirk did it. So now, whatever it is he worn down physically because of the Achilles, and you should never expect him to be the guy? Why don't you put freaking Penix? And by the way, if he does have a physical thing, which is giving him, you know, dead feet, then throw Penix in for a second half if you got a lead.
Yeah.
That's what's the harm.
Nothing. Well, for me, nothing. Maybe for him or them, but nothing for me.
And look, I think we're going to see a steady dose of the run game. I don't think Zach Robinson overcomplicates it. Max Crosby's out, as you mentioned. That's huge because he gets after it, and that's a big weapon you don't have to worry about. And is Ritter going to handle his water? Or is, again, everyone's reporting now it's going to be Ritter.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll give you all the latest NFL injuries coming up in our NFL Blitz.
Everybody's ankle got jacked up this week.
It's crazy. And by the way, some of this stuff is going to affect how these, you know, positioning as far as the playoffs is concerned, including Kansas City. But right now, let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
All right, man, the Hawks. New believers? Mike, they played a really – for those who watched it, again, felt like a playoff game.
We play defense.
I mean, like it felt like, okay, we took a jab, then we threw a jab. They took a hook, we threw a hook. Like, that's what it felt like with this game. Obviously, it wasn't a series. Milwaukee, Mike, at the end of the day, wins. And I'm proud of what I saw with our Hawks. Guys, this team's better than we thought. DeAndre Hunter, for all the crap that I've given you, you're finally stepping up and playing like I've wanted you to for the last 3 years. Kudos. Dyson Daniels is really damn good. And Jalen Johnson, I said it from the start, when everybody left, he's an all-star, guys. I don't know if he'll get it, but he's playing like an all-star. Mike, it gives me a lot of hope about where this team could potentially go. Now, again, this may not be the finished product. Mm. You keep talking about, you know, wrestler and maybe investing a little bit more.
A little more size in the front court.
But, man, I'm excited about where they're going. This wasn't a blowout. Milwaukee didn't humiliate us.
No, Jalen Johnson with a double-double in the game. You know, he was cleaning some glass using his athleticism. Trey had to go for 35 and shoot a ton of free throws. He got to the stripe. And, of course, you knew that Giannis was going to get there, and he missed 6 free throws. We missed a bunch of free throws down the stretch because you and I were at Army-Navy. I got a bunch of guys. We were at the airport, and I was reading some of the texts and talking to some of the listeners back and forth, and they thought the refs screwed us. I went back and watched the game Saturday night, and I got to be honest, or Sunday night, I should say, it just seems like we missed some free throws. Trey had a couple of turnovers. And the refs didn't swallow their whistle, which, if you want to treat it like a playoff game, they kind of did.
It did. I'm telling you. That's what it felt like to me when they were just kind of letting them play through, right? And so, again.
But 64% from free throws. 20, we missed 12 free throws in that game. That killed us.
Big. But the Hawks will get back now. And, guys, everything is focused towards, you know, that was the in-season tournament. Okay, great. They'll play the finale, and we're not in it. But we get back to regular season. Now, Mike, we got to try to position ourselves before the All-Star break and after for a top-4 seed. Can we be a top-4 seed?
Right now we're 7 in the East, but 14 and 13. I guess it's a smaller sample size, but still you're over 500. We've seen enough trends to see we can hang with the big boys. But I'd love to see them invest a little bit more in the front court, another shooter off the bench, because, you know, the inevitable, knock wood, hopefully not, injury, because the difference so far for this team compared to the last 3 years is everybody's healthy through Christmas.
Yes. Apparently the Hawks are positioning to potentially utilize Clint Capella's $23 million expiring contract. and maybe use this to get something. That is going to be the key. When you start talking about trading pieces, you're not trading Dyson. You just got him, and you got two first rounds back. You're not trading Trey. You're certainly not trading Jalen. And right now, DeAndre Hunter, his stock is as high as it's ever been. This is potentially what might happen, Mike, but it's an expiring contract, which makes it something that's attractive to a lot of teams.
And that was one of the things. And it wasn't against Clint, because we love Clint's work ethic and all that. It was something we had thought maybe was going to happen this offseason to get him off. But, hey, either way, if you can get a little bit bigger, a little more athletic, and, again, we need a little more help. Because you know the physicality and the nature of the playoffs. We just saw it against Giannis and the Bucks. You need some more size up front. And guys can really crash the boards.
I agree. One more thing we got to get to, and it was pretty cool to see over the weekend. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Travis Hunter wins the Heisman, and I just want you to hear what he said, because it was an emotional moment for the Georgia boy. And I say that, Collins Hill, I mean, like, everybody here in Atlanta that knows this young man talks glowingly about him. To me, it's no surprise how much success he's had, Mike, and it's just starting. Mike, we're going to get a chance to see him on Sundays. It's going to be so cool. But congratulations to Travis Hunter. Here's the announcement, and then I want you to hear what he had to say about Coach Prime and Shedeur Sanders.
It is my honor to announce that the 2024 Heisman Award goes to Travis Hunter.
He's just like, really? Because he's sitting there with the three other guys, and, you know, Dylan's there. Obviously, Genty, the running back from Boise State, is there. Here's what he said about his coach and his quarterback.
I want to thank Coach Prime, Shedeur. Man, y'all changed my life forever. That one simple phone call, Shedeur, look where I'm at. Man, that's crazy, bro. It's crazy. I'm trying not to get emotional because I know our last game coming up soon. But I'm thankful for both of y'all. Coach Brown, I'm going to whoop you on that lake tomorrow or whenever we get the chance. But thank you, man. You changed my life forever. I told you that multiple times.
Collins Hill High School, baby. And, again, shocked the world when he first went to Jackson State. And the rest, as he said, is history and the connection with Prime and with Shedeur.
Pretty cool stuff. All right, we got a lot more to get to. Game balls, no balls coming off the weekend. We will hand those out. Also, in the NFL, it's almost like who's not hurt. Find out who and who isn't coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll get into the NFL Blitz. It's Monday Night Football tonight. Falcons at Raiders. You're going to have it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay right there. So some teams right now, it feels like they are peaking. That is not our Falcons, and that's good news. Listen to me. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've been in this lull, and what I'm hoping, Mike, is that we come out of it starting tonight against the Raiders. We finish the season. Why can't we go on a four-game win streak? We've lost four. Why not win four out, right? Four in a row. And then all of a sudden, Mike, not only are we back into the playoff hunt, but more importantly, maybe we start peaking at the right time. Listen, there are some teams, and let's just talk about this real quick, Mike. There's some teams I think that are really good in the NFL. Buffalo's really good. The Ravens are really good, okay? There are some teams in the NFC right now. The Lions are really good, but guys, they are decimated by injuries. I don't know if they're going to be able to stand up between now and the end of the season, Mike, and make it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're front seven. If you didn't see the game, that's why it was such a dial a score. They are literally got backups for backups. And it's funny, Carl and I were talking off the air after that just despicable display by Devondre Campbell this week with the 49ers tapping out, that they can't even trade him. They're basically putting the screws to a man who screwed his teammates over. They just put him on basically three-game suspension, so they can't put him. If he was just going to be cut, he'd be on waivers. The Lions could go get him. Devondre Campbell could start right now for the Lions and be an upgrade from what they're rolling with, but they're not going to have that option because it's the 49ers' right to do so. But, yeah, they're struggling right now defensively. They don't pass the eye test in the playoffs with that defense.
It's tough. They can score, but you're going to score 42 and lose 45-42 in the playoffs? Like,
right.
Like you can't stop anybody. And, by the way, Devondre Campbell, Big O, let's give him no balls for what he pulled this week. It was, Mike said it, embarrassing to say, not only to your coach, but to your teammates, can you imagine me and a teammate, you're looking at him and Coach Shanahan's like, we need you. I'm not going in. What? No. You hurt? No, I'm just not going to play. I don't feel like it. Completely despicable.
No balls.
It's one thing if you're having a contract spat and you want to stick it to the man, you stick it to your teammates. It goes against everything we've come to expect from the NFL, man. And for a dude who's been around, guy put his head down, did the work here, wish we could have kept him here. Remember, we ran out of money.
Totally agree. Minnesota, I know they're 11-2. Really good or just good? Like, is this fool's
the
goal?
Way if we had continued to run the ball, we ran the ball against them. And, of course, then, you know, the turnovers became a shootout. But, you know, the run, even though they're supposed to consider one of the better, you know, defense, imagine, I think the Eagles will be able to run effectively against them.
I do, too.
And I know everybody talks about their sack numbers. But, yeah, I don't know. Everybody continues to wait for the other shoe to fall for their quarterback. But Sam Darnold had a career day the other day against us.
Yeah.
And he'll be going up against the Bears defense tonight.
Here comes the Packers, by the way. Here comes Jordan Love.
They looked great last night.
Don't sleep on the Packers. I know it's kind of been like, oh, are they really as good as we think they are? They are. And so I get back to, we haven't played our best football. Is it possible? Is it likely that that happens over the next 4 weeks where somehow we find a way to get things going? Hopefully that starts tonight. By the way, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. Shortened edition of our show, as we mentioned, Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Joe Patrick, John Fricke will get you going. And then the pregame show starts at 6:30, leading you into kickoff. And then you'll get a chance to hear Wes.
Wes Duham.
Yeah. and they'll have the call tonight in Vegas. Hey, let's give a game ball because we haven't all season long, but he hadn't done anything all season long. To Aaron Rodgers, Mike, did he look good or what yesterday? These are the moments where you go, well, maybe he comes back and maybe he can lead us to the playoffs.
Well, got Devontae Adams in the game. You know, all of a sudden things are, you know, you're going up against a hapless Jags team.
I agree. Game ball to Aaron Rodgers.
Game balls.
He did get Devontae Adams involved. They end up winning. I also have to continue to give Joe Burrow a game ball. And let me hear this Joe Burrow to T. Higgins touchdown and then Burrow talking about their playoff hopes. I keep saying they're dead, but technically they're not. Listen, nobody's mathematically eliminated right now. Even though, Mike, we think so, well, there's probably a couple of teams, right? The Raiders, the Giants, they're dead. The Cincinnati Bengals aren't dead.
They got the 15th most difficult schedule of the teams remaining. They'll play the Steelers coming off that Eagles loss. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they get Steelers, Broncos, Browns. That's what they got left for Cincinnati.
All right.
That's two of those are tough.
Doable. Yeah, true. Yeah. You're going to have to battle. Here's Burrow to Higgins, and then Burrow talking about the playoffs.
Game balls.
Burrow has the ball. It's a deep drop. He throws before getting hit.
Got him.
Deep ball for Higgins.
Yeah.
He catches it.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Nice.
Bengals.
Nice.
Burrow flattened at the 50, and on his back, he holds up the touchdown signal after connecting with the Tennessee kid, T. Higgins.
We got to play better than we did today going forward, but you know we need a lot of help from across the league. Teams beating teams that need to lose for us to get in, but as long as we keep controlling what we can control and keep winning, give ourselves a chance.
Another three touchdowns for Burrow. That puts him at 36 on the season with four games to play.
This is like the best quarterback play on a team that has no defense. I mean, well, you could argue now Goff is becoming that same guy with the Lions because of those injuries we just talked about. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a year where it looks like it's preordained. It's going to be Josh Allen, you know, because his performance was just insane. And Lamar Jackson, because the team isn't doing as well. Again, Lamar Jackson's defense, not good. Goff's defense, injured. Burrow's not existent. So I guess Josh Allen will win because he's got the most complete team around him, but he has been amazing.
Mike, yesterday I'm watching the Dolphins-Texans, and I may have put a little something on the Dolphins. I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I said, hey, they'll cover the three. And then Tua threw a terrible – I'm sorry, it's very personal – threw a terrible pick when they had a chance to go down and at least win the game, but on top of that, cover the three, and instead Tua throws this terrible pick yesterday. No balls to Tua Tagovailoa.
No balls.
Mike, it was
– Tua in the gun. Here's the snap. Tua, quick fire, right side, and intercepted by Stingley. He's got it across the 15 and wrestled out of bounds by Hill. Derek Stingley Jr., the INT. He turns back Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Another scary moment. You know, they had a scary moment where a player was carted off the field, and it's very, very serious. Grant Dubose. Never seen a guy that cut the shoulder pads off and everything. They took the face mask off, the whole thing. So he suffered a concussion. They're getting some positives back, but it was, I mean, that was about 15 minutes to stop the game dead. Dolphins look like they lost some mojo.
Jeez. Yeah.
But real quick, when I was flipping around, because I was watching Red Zone yesterday, he's got to learn how to go feet first.
Tua?
Tua.
Oh.
I mean, now the sack, that's just a regular play where he gets hit. But he goes, and he's running for his first down, and he's going head first in. I don't get it. I mean, I just literally don't get it. But either way, Coach Brah and the Dolphins, you buying them right now?
No.
As it stands?
I just lost money on them.
Yeah, they have the tiebreaker over Cincinnati based on conference. But Indy has a tiebreaker over Miami based on head-to-head. So, and Indy had a good chance to beat Denver. And then Denver's defense started wailing up, and then Bo Nix started throwing it to the right guys.
He did. Wasn't that crazy? That was a crazy game yesterday, too.
Right.
Bunch of teams on byes, obviously, but, you know, if you ask me, the one I was looking forward to turned into be a womp, womp, and that was Eagles-Steelers. I was like, this is going to be – I thought the score might be like 13-10,
right.
You know, last possession. Eagles just put it on the Steelers. Now – Pickens didn't play, but that's no excuse. This was ugly. The Steelers had a fumble, Mike, in their own territory that cost them. Give the Eagles credit, man. You said it. Jalen Hurts again, 290, two touchdowns. A.J. Brown, after the week before where him and A.J. allegedly were beefing, eight balls for 110, Mike, and a touchdown for A.J. Brown.
Game balls.
Dude, it's funny. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And after AJ went off and had that whole soap opera we talked about with Hugh Douglas up in D.C. for Army Navy.
That's right.
You know what? That's the element that's missing. Now, I'm not sure that's the way you want to go about it, creating a little mini soap opera that obviously, you know, was driving talk radio in Philly. But
are you saying here?
No, I'm talking about A.J. Brown.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, A.J. Brown's, I mean, they needed that vertical element. It's been missing.
Yeah.
You know, Baldinger talked about it on your podcast. Mark Schlereth talked about it with Andy Randy. That's the best the Eagles have looked. And I got to be honest. I mean, it was the Najee Harris fumble, which really took Pittsburgh out of the game. He took his eye off the ball on a toss sweep. And then, whoop, it looked like he double dribbled it right into the hands of the Eagles. Eagles, by the way, have got a much easier schedule than Detroit. Reds, Commanders, Giants, Cowboys.
Ooh.
And for what it's worth, Detroit has got Minnesota, Bears, San Francisco.
You think the Eagles win the NFC?
Eagles could be the number one seed based on how bad Detroit looks defensively.
Here's the thing. And if you're the Eagles, if you're the Lions and you got to go to the Eagles hypothetically for the NFC championship game.
Huge disadvantage.
I don't like it. Yeah. If you are the Eagles and you got to go indoors to the Lions with that speed and offensively, that's a different game.
Yeah, and the Lions, I don't think the Lions can match up with all those weapons when they're working. We'll get into the injuries next at the top of the hour because Saquon's one of those guys who got a bad-looking ankle injury.
But the biggest one may be with the team that's chasing history. How hurt is he? We'll give you the latest next. It is not a normal regular show for us on a Monday because we've got Monday Night Football, which means Connor Riley, we had to push him up. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes and talk some dogs with us. Normally joins us at 4, but we are done at 4 as we get ready for the pregame shows. And Mike, we'll talk about all the injuries, but as we started the show today, and if you're just joining us, hi, we're Dukes and Bell. We got to win tonight. We're going to win tonight. And with this win, it's going to start, hopefully, a run of games for us, Mike, that gets us not only back to where we want to be, but also making us feel a little bit more confident than what we certainly are now. I'm still confident, guys, we're going to make the playoffs. The problem is these other teams are making it difficult. Like, the teams we need to lose, Mike, are not losing, and specifically the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, they just really dropped the can of whoopers on the Chargers. And look, having Mike Evans back, and all of a sudden, you know, it looked like that string of 1,000-yard seasons was going to end, and he may still get it. He had two, I mean, we're talking about the explosive plays, Baker making plays with his legs.
Oh.
There's, like I said it on Twitter, they're peaking. You know, and we look like we've been leaking the last 4 weeks. There's no other way to put it. But, yeah, the Bucs right now win the tiebreaker over the Rams based on percentage of conference games. They'd be the 3 seed right now if the playoffs started today. They're 8-6. Guys, we blew it. The game against the Saints. You know, we talked about those AFC games, but the game against the Saints, that's where it kind of started to go sideways for us. And we can, you know, we've diagnosed what's gone wrong. It's simple. The defense is not elite. It's got its shortcomings. They can do some things good, some things bad. But Cousins has got to be... Not just competent. You know, that ship has sailed. We need him to not suck, okay? And now I need him to make some plays, especially when we play Washington. This game will probably be a grinder, probably ugly aesthetically, run the football, get out of there with a dub. But Cousins at some point has got to get it together.
Well, he's got to play and be special. And what I'm about to say, some of you are going to be like, you're crazy. Okay. I'm not talking about his overall career. But this season, Baker Mayfield has been better than Patrick Mahomes. He has. And you don't want to believe it, and you don't want to say it because it's Baker Mayfield. Mike, they outgained the Chargers 500 yards to 206. We were lucky and couldn't even stop one wide receiver in the game we played them.
Right.
The Bucs converted 9 of 15 third downs, and Los Angeles, we're talking about the Chargers, didn't have one single conversion in six chances. They got off the field, meaning defensively they dominated a team that prides itself on being physical. And so then you talk about explosive plays. That was the other thing in this game. You're right. They are peaking, man. And by the way, they're going to be a hard out. I'm talking about Tampa Bay with the way that they're playing right now is going to be a hard out. I'm glad they're not our last game of the season.
Remember how they knocked out those fading Eagles last year in Tampa in the divisional round? By the way, Baker Mayfield, this is what we thought we signed up for with Kirk Cousins. 32 touchdowns, 14 picks.
He's been good, Mike.
He's fourth right now in total yardage. Cousins is a seventh in yardage, and he's 17 and 15 on the picks, and the picks have killed us. And again, 0 touchdowns, 8 interceptions the last 4 weeks.
Now, let's get into some of these injuries because some of them are significant, some not so much. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL Blitz! This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're going to play Kirk Cousins coming up in 4 minutes. Stay there. You're going to hear the quarterback's conversation with Dave Archer as we do each and every week leading into our games, and we'll hear what he has to say about tonight. All right, Mike, is there one that jumps out at you? Because for me, no Mahomes, no chance. And right now they're saying it's a high ankle sprain for Patrick Mahomes.
That's bad. There's so many big ones, but Mahomes, for all the obvious reasons, he seemingly has been dealing with ankle injuries like 3 of the last 4 seasons. He's always got that late in the year. But no, you can't do it without Mahomes. That's just plus Carson Wentz is going to lead you.
Don't trust him.
No, no. Nick Foles won that Super Bowl.
He did.
No, I'm not buying that. So, yeah, no Mahomes, no shot. T.J. Watt, ankle. Devontae Adams.
That's huge.
Ankle. Now, I know the Jets season was over long ago, but that's a big one. Did you see the Bengals? We talked about how there's nobody healthy for the Lions. Sam Hubbard, they throw a touchdown to him, the defensive end, and then he blows his knee out.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, they're saying a PCL injury is likely going to end his season. That's, you know, remember Charles Grant with Georgia back in the day? Don't do the gimmick play with your star defensive player.
Why?
Yeah, but in this case, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Geno Smith comes off the field last night looking like he's got an ankle. I mean, there's just so many. And then Saquon Barkley rested in the second half of their victory over the Steelers with what looks like a knee. So there's a million things that are all happening to some of the biggest names. But no one's more decimated right now, aside from Mahomes, than the Lions. Basically, their entire starting front seven is banged up.
No, it's crazy because when you look at their depth chart, specifically, and I'm talking about the Lions here, okay, earlier in the season, he didn't do anything because he got hurt. Imagine that. Marcus Davenport.
Who?
They signed him, and he got hurt. He stays hurt. But, Mike, Aiden Hutchinson, right? McNeil is hurt. Carlton Davis, their linebacker. Like, you just go down the list, and these guys are all starters. So then they go to their B team or their second string guys, and they all get hurt. Malcolm Rodriguez, he was a kid you saw a couple of years ago on Hard Knocks. Everybody fell in love with him. Went cowboy hat shopping and all that. He gets hurt. Derek Barnes is hurt. So, yeah, I'm not sure, and as much as I like Dan Campbell and the Lions and what he's done there, not sure if they can stand up. You can only sustain so many injuries, Mike, before it absolutely kills you. I don't care how many points you can score. You still got to get stops in
the
NFL.
Well, this was, one of the things that was brought up now, the injuries all occurred, and, you know, hopefully if you're a Chiefs fan, the Mahomes can get the treatment that you and I are not going to get when we roll our ankle mowing the lawn, but I mean, obviously he'll be 24/7. This is why some were saying you needed a second bye week when you went to the 17-week schedule.
I'm with you. Do you
the 18?
Do you think they should?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, I mean, you know, the only way the NFL would ever change anything is if the TV numbers go down, which they won't. So, I mean, but you're not tuning in to watch Joe Blow and the third string quarterback. You're looking at the quarterback stars of the league and everybody else. But there's the rash of ankle injury, and almost every single one is either a shoestring tackle. Hey, at one point, did you see Kelce tripped on the chain?
Yep.
In that game for a minute. Of course, he went back in the game. But Mahomes said afterwards he thought if this was a playoff game, he'd be able to grind it out, shoot it up, tape it up. But, yeah, it's a huge, huge injury. Good news for them is since Buffalo lost that game to the Rams, you know, they still have that game in hand for that home field.
More bad news for the Lions. David Montgomery out for the rest of the season.
Whoa.
Suffered a torn MCL in the game yesterday. Dan Campbell has confirmed Dave, and by the way, David Montgomery's a dude. He's been unbelievable.
Him and Jahmyr Gibbs have been just an amazing tandem all season long. Wow.
Is going to undergo surgery to repair his knee and is out, as Campbell just said moments ago. All right. And now I feel bad. Like the Lions, Lions, Mike, hey, Mike, you can't continue this.
This now that's the first big one on the offensive side. Their injuries on the defense. Guys, remember 2018? Sarkisian figured out the offense using like the Shanahan offense, but then our defenses, everybody got hurt. Debo got hurt. Keanu Neal went down. Everybody else, secondary. It's even worse what the Lions are dealing with, and now you throw in Montgomery. I mean, the only positive of that is I got Jahmyr Gibbs on my fantasy team, but that's it. but yeah, it's just, it's crazy. We talked earlier about the Lions could really use a guy like Devondre Campbell. San Francisco basically, hey, you're going to quit on us? Well, we're going to stick it to you. 3-game suspension for Devondre Campbell. Nothing the Players Association can do about it, nor should they. So you can't claim him off waivers because he's still the property of the 49ers who put him on ice.
Isn't that crazy? They're playing games with him, aren't they?
Well, I think, you know, tit for tat.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Ravens.
Oh he also, goodness. I think, but it's, I thought it was suspended without pay.
Yeah. 3 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Alvin Kamara, groin abductor injury.
Yeah, I was watching that game yesterday, and he was looking good. Injured.
Oof. I got to be honest with you. I can't remember. We already mentioned T.J. Watt and went out. We already talked about the other one. There's the most injuries I can remember this late in the season, all happening on the same, all seemed like the afternoon window.
Well, these are big names, though. Like, you just mentioned five guys that everybody knows. These aren't guys that you go, well, they'll be all right.
Right.
These are big names. And so this one, not so much, but it just goes to show you that sometimes you make a deal for a guy and it doesn't work out. The Ravens excused Deontay Johnson from practice this week. Then it comes out that the Ravens have decided to mutually excuse Deontay Johnson from team activities.
Because he quit too on them.
Correct. So, I mean, like, I don't know. The Ravens are a Super Bowl caliber team. Again, I don't know if they're going to go. Lamar looked really good yesterday. But again, Mike said it. They played the Giants. I mean, it was, come on.
Right. We talked about it last night. Geno Smith out with that knee injury. Their playoff chances are now kind of looking a little slim. 8-6. They still got, they're sitting ahead of certainly us for any kind of wild card. Right now, the Rams, based on record, look like they could be the team that's going to win that division.
Yeah.
You could argue. We talked about the most serious injury. Not a star player, but man, it was scary to see Grant DuBose. Never seen a guy where they've got to cut the shoulder pads, the jersey off, the whole thing, and then take him off the field in the loss for the Dolphins to the Texans yesterday. He's in stable condition in a hospital in Houston.
Yeah, that is good news because that looked serious. Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. He sat down with Dave Archer as we get ready for Monday Night Football.
This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Time to catch up with our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, as we head into a Monday night game with the Las Vegas Raiders. And, Kirk, kind of a big picture scenario here. Obviously, we know what's going on the last 4 weeks. Hadn't gone our way. Young football team around you. You've been in stretch drives before like you're in right now. How do you kind of keep the guys' feet, you know, thinking where their feet are as opposed to being caught up maybe in some of the ghosts of the last 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's what you just said. Understanding we only have 4 weeks left. We've got to give it everything we got. We got to be in the present. It is a week-to-week league. And anything I would tell teammates, I got to remind myself, too. I got to be saying the same message to myself. You know, I get concerned even that we talk about how we're still okay, we're still okay, we're still okay. And sometimes you need to say the message of, no, like, we need this one and we got to prepare accordingly. So it is comforting to know that, hey, we can still have a great year, we can still put this together, but sometimes maybe that causes guys to relax and we've just got to make sure that, no, it's now or never.
You've played in a bunch of these primetime games. You guys have been good in the three you've played in this year. I know you're 2-1, but very easily could have beaten the Chiefs in that Sunday night game as well. Tell me about what it is about primetime games and waiting. What is the key to be at your best and having to wait to play this late?
Yeah, I've always wanted to, you know, take a nap in the afternoon to kind of reset my clock just to make sure I have the energy I need late in the day. The time zone change in Vegas also kind of presents a unique deal where it's a primetime game, but we'll be going to the stadium in the early to mid-afternoon as far as West Coast time. So that'll feel a little bit different than we played at Philly. You know, it's a great challenge. It'll be a charged environment. I know their defense plays with their hair on fire, and they've still got a lot of intensity and commitment. They play hard. So it'll be a good opportunity for us, a good challenge.
Everything comes together, whether it's the money down third or fourth down in your conversion situations or when you get down into the red zone. So everything kind of combines. But in particular, red zone, I know, is something you guys would like to fix, like be a lot more efficient down there. Is there something you can point to that maybe the red zone, get the red zone fixed on Monday night?
Well, certainly the holdings have been tough. You know, the 10-yard penalties that put us back where we're not really converting first and 10. We're converting, you know, first and 20. You know, those are things we want to eliminate, need to eliminate. And then, you know, the more we can just be effective in the pass game, efficient in the run game. You know, I think last week we had a pass batted down in the low red zone. So just all the things that contribute to incompletions that we're trying to avoid. We got to put it all together and pitch and catch and make sure that we're scoring touchdowns and not kicking field goals, not only this week, but really the rest of the way if we want to be where we want to be in January.
All right. Last thing for you. You mentioned a little bit about the Raider defense, and I've watched a little bit of tape. I know you've poured over it. Tell me about what you see when you see the Raiders on. You talked about how they play on fire. They look like they may be a little bit more of a zone team. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I think situationally you're going to see a variety of things, but they do a good job playing their zones. They do a good job making their zones look muddy, masking it so the coverages look similar pre-snap and post-snap. They're going to pressure. They're going to have some unscouted looks as well. Patrick Graham, the D coordinator, has been around a long time and has a good scheme, and he's always evolving. So they play hard for him. They play hard for Coach Pierce, and you see it on tape. A lot of respect for their middle linebackers, Spillane, and for Diablo, and those guys have played a lot of football. I just think it's a group that, you know, they're going to try to force turnovers, be opportunistic, and make it hard on us. And, you know, anytime you go on the road, you have that adverse noise and you know, the element of communication as well. So there's a lot of things that we've got to be on to be able to come out with a win.
All of us that have been fortunate enough to play this game knows it's a great opportunity to go lay it on the line and have some fun. And go have some fun, man.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. That's what it's all about. You know, be able to play on Monday Night Football, playing the Las Vegas Raiders, an iconic, you know, brand, an iconic organization. What a great opportunity. And we're looking forward to the challenge.
Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks.
Kirk Cousins.
Man, hope he gets it cooking. Max Crosby's out with an ankle injury for the rest of the season for the Raiders. So
let's talk some college football with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got Falcons Raiders tonight here on the radio station. Of course, we got the Wait For It tailgate show, Joe Patrick, John Freaky coming up. And then 6:30, we've got your Falcons pregame show leading into Wes and Arch. Connor Riley, man, first of all, let's talk about the portal and how Georgia has approached it, who they potentially lost and who they've gained, because this has been a big topic of conversation for college football the last week or so.
Yeah, so far Georgia's seen seven players enter the transfer portal. The only one that was really a consistent contributor over the course of the season was Julian Humphrey, and he obviously entered the portal before the SEC championship game. So, you know, in terms of impacting Georgia's playoff outlook, it's not all that serious in terms of the guys they have lost. As far as the guys they're looking at, a wide receiver, I think, is a big position, just given the turnover that they're expecting to see there, along with the fact that they want to increase, I think, the production that they see from that room. Safety is another position I think they're going to look at, given Dan Jackson is set to exhaust his college eligibility after the season. And Malachi Starks likely to be a first-round pick there. So those are the two that I think jump to mind in terms of ones that Georgia is going to be most active. Quarterback's an interesting position to look at, just because I think we've seen Kirby sort of shift into, hey, if I can get a guy that has some upside that, you know, has maybe an SEC background, maybe Alabama quarterback, Dylan Lonergan comes to mind there. Maybe they'll take a stab at him just to see how many options they can have in that quarterback room going forward. But right now, I would say a wide receiver and safety in particular are the two big concerns for Georgia when it comes to looking for players in the transfer portal.
I'm just going to give up on ever seeing Jaden Rashad in uniform. It's our man, Connor Riley. You can read all about the portal. He posted it about 9 hours ago. What happens now if Beck can't get ready for the combine and the draft? Does Carson Beck come back? And do they want him back? I know I asked you this earlier, but do we have any idea if they want him back?
It's a question that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And I think the severity of that elbow injury, UCL injury, is going to determine a lot of this in terms of, you know, the surgery and the recovery time and him potentially going through the combine process. Because we've started to see, I think, some of those quarterbacks decide, hey, I'm going to come back to college for another year. And that sort of shrinks the pool of talent there. You see Drew Allar today, the Penn State quarterback, announced he's coming back to school. Garrett Nussmeier had previously announced that he was coming back to school as well there. So you've got Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders as, I think, the top two quarterback options in this class. But there's still such a need at the NFL level that there's going to be a want for some of those guys. And so Carson's obviously got a decision to make there. And look, it wouldn't be surprising to see him potentially come back because of this injury and maybe, you know, consider looking elsewhere. We've seen guys do that before. And I think how all this plays out in the college football playoff, how Gunnar Stockton looks in the college football playoff is going to go a long way in determining how all this shakes out. As we sit here on December, 16th, a lot of this is still going to play out. And while I would say maybe 2-3 weeks ago, it seemed very certain pre-injury that Carson Beck was going to be in the NFL next year, I don't think we can say that anymore based on the way that this has progressed and the way that things look there.
Do you know something, Connor? Is he staying?
I don't know that yet, but I think there's a lot of twists and turns this can continue to take in the way that this can go. And ultimately, we still don't know the severity of this injury, at least the public does not yet.
Yeah, okay. That's true. It's Connor Riley. Guys, he writes for Dog Nation. You can check out all his stuff. I saw this that you wrote, maybe today or yesterday, about how this buy is going to help the young guys. Explain. How does it help the young guys?
Yeah, so Georgia, obviously, they don't have a game this week. It's the benefit of getting that first-round bye. And while, yes, you know, the off-field staff, the analysts, they're looking into Notre Dame, they're preparing for Indiana and things like that, Georgia's still practicing this week, and so they're going to focus on developing a lot of those young guys, getting those guys reps, getting those guys better, because they just didn't get the opportunity to do that over the course of the season. With Georgia playing a lot of tighter games, I believe they only played 3 games this season that they won by 20 points. Kirby Smart estimated they probably lost about 100 snaps on average for guys that would have gotten to play in games in the past that have been blowouts. So for young players, wide receiver Sakobi White, cornerback Ellis Robinson, a lot of the young guys they have on the defensive and offensive lines, they're getting a chance to get extra reps now in practice and get better in that sense. Now, I don't know how much that's going to help them, you know, potentially get on the field and carve out a role for these playoff games. But going forward, these reps are going to be super valuable for players. You know, think of it as sort of the old bowl practices that we saw and the enthusiasm that Kirby Smart had for those guys there. So I think in some ways, yes, it allows this team to get healthier. I think that's why this bye was mostly paramount. But you've also got the opportunity to get those guys some reps in practice and give them some extra attention that they haven't had the chance to get this season.
Dog Nation's Connor Riley with us, guys. We got Falcons pregame coming up top of the hours. They're in Vegas tonight. Any preference you think from the coaching staff? I know it's kind of a silly question. Notre Dame's thought of more for the run game and their defense. Indiana's a great story, but it just seems like Indiana would be an easier out.
I would agree with that, Mike. I think that, and again, you look at that Ohio State game. Indiana, I think, has a very capable defense, as does Notre Dame, but Indiana could not block Ohio State. And while Notre Dame does have some issues and concerns on the offensive line, I think with their ability to run the ball, specifically with their quarterback, Riley Leonard, and the way that you saw Georgia struggle to defend Haynes King at Georgia Tech, that matchup in particular would give you a little bit more pause. I will say with Notre Dame, yes, they have the win over Texas A&M. Indiana's the only playoff team that they will have faced so far this season. And Georgia has such a talent edge over both of those teams that I think that Georgia should match up well with either of those teams. But if you're a Georgia fan and you're looking for the easiest out, I do think that it's Indiana in this case.
All right. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that, of course, is, you know, if Beck is not able to come back, do you feel like now, and maybe you felt this way all along, that Gunnar can take this, that Gunnar can win a national championship with Georgia stepping in this particular moment?
I don't feel comfortable enough to say that Georgia can win a national championship with Gunnar Stockton. But there are some positives to take away from that Texas game. For one, he's not, statistically speaking, going to face a better defense in the college football playoff than the one he faced in the second half of that Texas game. Texas is number one in the country in terms of yards per play allowed, and they found a way to scratch out enough points in that win to get there. It's a very different looking offense. I'm curious of what this group will look like if they really have to play from behind. You've seen Carson for all the ups and downs that he had this season. You know, he did lead that comeback against Alabama. He did lead that comeback against Georgia Tech. Obviously, they lost to Alabama, but Carson still put them in a position to come back and potentially win that game. I don't have the same level of confidence that they're going to be able to do that with Gunnar Stockton. And so the way that this Georgia team comes out and plays, I think is going to be incredibly important for Gunnar Stockton. They do have less ways of winning football games with Gunnar Stockton. That's not to say that they can't go out there and win them. They've already beaten a playoff team with Gunnar Stockton at quarterback in Texas in the SEC championship game, and I think he deserves credit for that. The other thing, and this is an intangible thing, there is a real juice, in my opinion, that Gunnar Stockton provides. There is a belief that teammates have in him. And that's not to say that Carson didn't provide it, but it is magnified with Gunnar Stockton at quarterback. And it's similar in some ways to, I think, what Stetson Bennett provided to that 2021 team over JT Daniels during that season. Mm. And that ultimately made a difference at the end. I don't know if Gunnar Stockton is going to have the same acclimation period in terms of getting up to where Stetson was in that Alabama game in the national championship game. But they're going to have time to prepare him and time to get better and time to install a plan that is going to bring out the best in Gunnar Stockton.
All right, real quick, we got to catch a break. But are they going to find really, really sticky gloves for Nate Frazier?
You're absolutely right, Mike. It is a concern. And yes, Trevor Etienne coming back absolutely helps this team. But Nate Frazier, for as well as he's looked, and you see the explosive runs, and you see the positive things that he's done and the way that he's improved as a pass blocker, you also see why he didn't play in that Alabama game, because ball security was an issue for him early in the season. And it just seems like once or twice a game, there's a ball that either squeaks out or almost squeaks out. He lost one against Ole Miss. They were fortunate to recover it against Texas. There was one that maybe may or may not have gotten out in that win over Georgia Tech. Ball security, it's just been a thing that has been an issue all season for Frazier. And in big games, where especially now Georgia just has a smaller margin of error, that's got to be stressed and emphasized to an incredible degree when it comes to Nate Frazier.
Great stuff. Connor Riley, appreciate you, man. As always, tell the people again where they can find you.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. Got a ton of stuff. We're in the run to the playoff for Georgia.
Yeah, guys, we're counting down 20th, which is this weekend, right? The playoffs start. So we'll be talking with Connor throughout the course of these playoffs. Connor Riley from Dog Nation. We're coming back. We'll give you our final thoughts on tonight's game, what we think's going to happen, and then we're going to hand things off to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as we start to get ready for Falcons and Raiders here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. So one way or another, consequences are going to happen. We win, our chances to get into the playoffs,
there are going to be consequences and repercussions,
go up. We lose, our chances of going to the playoffs go down. That's how big tonight's game is with the Raiders. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joe Patrick, John Fricke coming up with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. But, Mike, before we get out of here, and we're back tomorrow, full show, guys. We will have the coaches show tomorrow evening at 6, so we'll get a chance, win, lose, or draw, and it won't be a draw, to hear what Coach Raw has to say about tonight and how everything went down. But before we get out of here, let's talk about what goes down tonight. What happens?
I mean, if Cousins is continuing to struggle, there's a great conversation you can rewind on the Odyssey app. And it was Andy Randy with Dave Archer today. And Arch was, I started the show with Carl talking about dead feet. Good name for a band, Dead Feet. But talking about how just Cousins not bouncing in the pocket. And maybe, look, we're not orthopedists. Is this some kind of residual effect from the first year back off the Achilles? Because he looked so good early in the year, only to look so dead right now. But you said it. I mean, the batted balls, you brought that up last week. I've never seen as many batted passes in the line of scrimmage. Target locking in on Drake London, double clutching. Ball's got to come out. It's got to come out on schedule. And they've got to take pressure off him. So like steady dose. I got to give me, what's the over-under? 25, 30 touches for Algier and Bijan. Let's run the hell out of the ball tonight.
I agree. The defensive secondary can't be any worse than it was last week. And the good news is you're not facing the juggernaut that was Jefferson and Addison and T.J. Hockenson this week. But the secondary has to play better. And here's the other big key for me. We got to get some turnovers. Not one, not two. We got to get some turnovers, Mike. It has eluded us during this losing streak. We went from a team that was turning people over to, I mentioned this, one turnover in this four-game losing streak. That's not going to get it. So turn them over. And then on the other side of that, obviously the secondary, let's play more consistent and not give up any big plays, whether it's Ritter, which we think it's going to be Ritter, or Aiden O'Connell. Either guy, Mike, I don't want to give up big plays to. To me, those are the things that absolutely have to happen tonight.
Now, again, you all know about Brock Bowers, Georgia fans, and you get to see him, and hopefully they'll have an answer for him. You know, this is one of those games that Troy Andersen would be, oh, never mind. But, you know, that's what you need help with.
You're right.
The only other real viable weapon you could say is Jacoby Myers. He's got two touchdowns on the season, only 743 yards. But again, it's been a circus show at quarterback for the Raiders. So you could argue that, yes, you should be able to beat these guys. Vegas has this at 5.5. The over-under's at 44, so not a lot of points as much. And, you know, the Raiders, we said it earlier, there's really no motivation for them. Right now, they're right behind the Giants for that second pick. There's a bunch of teams that are all there with like two or three wins. If the Raiders were able to win this game, it takes them all the way to seventh from second in the NFL draft. So I know that, you know, NFL executives are saying nobody tanks any given Sunday, or in this case Monday, but there's no really nothing for the Raiders to get the game by winning this game. Unless Ritter's going to stick it to us. I don't think he's capable of doing that.
Now, if for whatever reason we don't get it done, we have to do a real examination about a five-week period of the season that has just fallen apart. And I'm hoping that's not what we're talking about tomorrow. I hope, Mike, we're talking about getting back on the right track, winning a game that could catapult you into maybe a four-game win streak before the end of the season, which is very doable, by the way, with the way the schedule plays out. Listen, the Commanders are going to be our toughest opponent the rest of the way. Outside of that, we should win all these games. Carolina's the last game of the season. But I can't count my you know, chickens, Mike, because we haven't played well enough for me to do that yet. Mm. So tonight is a get-right night. And every now and then you need these kinds of games where you're playing a team that is inferior. There's no way they should beat you. They don't have the personnel to beat you. They don't have the quarterback to beat you. And you go handle your business and everybody pads their stats and everybody feels good on the way back home on a 4.5-hour flight. That's what should happen. That's what I'm predicting. As far as the score is concerned, Mike, I think we score over 24 points tonight. I do. I think we are due. We have not put the ball in the end zone. We're scoring 24 more tonight.
Man, we've got to get this thing on track. And maybe it's a game where Cousins can get his confidence back. We've joked around about he's lost his mojo. So perhaps this is a perfect environment to do that. Andy Randy going to be out there. We got a ton of Falcon fans that made the trip to Sin City. So let's hope. Let's just hope that this leads to something. But you just feel like we missed an opportunity. The Saints game, this losing streak, the Chargers, like four games basically have changed the whole dynamic of the season. And the Buccaneers, as we said earlier, with Mike Evans healthy and back on the field, that offense looks beyond explosive. I mean, they went into L.A. and just whipped those Chargers in the second half, and Baker Mayfield is on fire. He's got 32 touchdowns and 14 picks. That's what I thought we'd get as a total for Kirk Cousins. Not what we've got right now. Hopefully figures it out.
I hope so, too. All right, guys. Again, follow us. You can always stay up with what's going on. And Mike mentioned Andy and Randy. They're going to do the show from out there tomorrow as well. So over at Circa, they were there today. Lots of fun. And they'll be there tomorrow before heading back to the A. So hopefully they're talking about the same things we're talking about. And that is a dub. That's all we care about. Guy just hit me up and says, do you really care what the score is? No. But no, people just always ask.
Well, as the Raiders say, it's Al Davis's line. Just win, baby. Just win. Please. I mean, we're looking up at Tampa Bay. And I think you get into like some of these crazy wild card scenarios with Geno Smith getting knocked out with Seattle. Can you put a win streak together and now maybe compete for a wild card? The thing is, you lose out on a home game if you can't win the division.
No doubt. And then, you know, this week the Hawks get back at it, guys. Mike mentioned we got some big games coming up as far as playoff implications. College football playoff starts this weekend. We got a lot to look forward to, but it starts tonight with our Falcons. All right, Big O, we got to get out of here, man, and clear our throat. Oren was doing all the things today. Turtle's going to actually be running the board for the game tonight, so he'll be in here. Joe Patrick, I just saw him out there. John Fricke, they're coming up with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Stay tuned. They got a lot to talk about as they get you ready for tonight's matchup. Mike, we got to get out of the way. We're back here at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We will be here, and we hope that you are, man, talking about our Falcons winning in Las Vegas. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, we talked about like how the world is bizarro now when it comes to college football. You know how much fun we had up there, an Army-Navy game up in D.C. Next year is Baltimore, and it just means so much more now because college football really is off its rocker. Maybe with these new rules that are going to hopefully come in place, we'll have some form of a salary cap with NIL. It'll bring some stability. But right now, if you're looking for college football in its purest form, other than maybe the subdivision with the championship, it's Army-Navy. But then Army's got to play somebody else in their bowl game because Marshall didn't have enough players because everybody got in the portal after the coach left. It truly is the tail wagging the dog. Man, I'd love to get my old college football back. Don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But the nice substitute is what you get in Army-Navy every year.
I don't know if he takes the job or not, but Mike Vick, yes, former NFL star, Virginia Tech legend Michael Vick, has said that Norfolk State has talked to him. They've had conversations about him becoming the head football coach. Look, I don't think people give Deion credit for the staff he hired at Colorado. I also don't think people give Deion the credit for the commitment that he made once he wanted to go into coaching. Mike, this isn't a fly-by-night thing. This is an every day, every hour, I'm on the job kind of thing. And if Michael Vick takes the job, I hope he's that committed. Because if he's not, he's going to fail. Mm. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you ain't swag.